following is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, featuring the teaching of Pastor Alan Rogers. In the Metro Chattanooga area, we invite you to be our guest at any of our weekly worship services or visit us online at newsalembaptists.net.
Our guest speaker this morning is Dr. Paul Frick. Dr. Frick retired as senior pastor of Liberty Baptist Church in Wartburg. Before that, he was senior pastor at Lakeview Baptist Church in North Georgia. Dr. Frick holds a PhD from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He is also a Christian counselor. Dr. Frick.
Well, it's really good to be back with you here at New Salem. And some of the faces look familiar. I'm not very good with names. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've seen them before, but I can't quite remember the name. When I was right out of seminary, I was at my first church, and so we had the invitation, and I got up, and I was down there. The minister of music was up behind the stand, and I called on him to pray, and I said something like, well, whatever your name is, will you say the benediction? So his name's Jim Plummer. I could tell you after, but he came up to me laughing, and he said, I could tell you didn't know my name. People thought you were making a joke. I said, well, I guess the joke's on me. But it is good to be back with you here at New Salem, and it's always a privilege to be able to fill the pulpit and to share God's word. And this morning, I want to talk about how to have a big heart. And my passage is from Psalm 119, verse 32. So I hope you have your Bibles with you or on your phone. And we're going to look at this passage, but also many other passages today. So if you want to know the Hebrew alphabet, all you got to do is go to Psalm 119, because every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is represented there in the longest chapter of God's Word. And I was reading through this chapter several years ago, and I came across this verse, and it just jumped off the page to me, because to me it spoke of how we as Christians ought to live. And it says this, I will run in the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, dear God, help us that we could live lives that would demonstrate compassion, that would demonstrate a love for other people. For we know that's why you sent Jesus Christ. Because how much you loved us, we are indeed children of the mountain movers. We are children of the one who created the universe. And Heavenly Father, on this beautiful day, as we worship you, I pray that you would speak to every heart, and it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Now, there are many medical conditions that you don't want to have. One of them is an enlarged heart, because it leads to many other health issues. On the other hand, spiritually, an enlarged spiritual heart is a great blessing. God wants us to have more empathy and more compassion so that it will help us as we strive to live for the Lord. And there's three steps that I want to share with you this morning about how we can have bigger hearts. And the first one is to enlarge your compassion. Now, we as people are pretty good about building walls. Don't you think so? We have a way of separating ourselves from other people. We come up with our categories. We come up with our labels. Sometimes we even have our prejudice. But what God wants us to do is He wants us to tear down the walls between others. He wants us to build bridges. He wants us to bridge that gap between ourselves and others. And so in Psalm 119, we're told that if we will run in the way or run to God's commandments, that He will enlarge our heart. So what does it mean to run to God's commandments? In fact, all of Psalm 119 is about the wonder and the power of God's word and how we need to hide it in our hearts, how we need to follow God's word because it is a path unto our feet, a light unto our path. And so we need to recognize the importance of following God's words. But it means that we, with joy, carry out and obey God's commandments. Now think about what the Bible tells us about God's love, our sin, the salvation that we have. And so many times in our lives, we don't always run to His commandments the way we ought to. In fact, if you talk to someone out in the world who's not saved, they would say, oh, that Bible, it's just a bunch of rules. That Bible is there to take away our joy. But in fact, if we run to God's commandments joyfully, we will find that there is peace and healing in God's word. In 1 Peter, I want us to look at some verses here. And what I want to do is start with verse 14. And it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So when we think about what it means to be a Christian, we need to recognize that we are called out of this sinful world to live a life that demonstrates God's love and God's compassion. We need to realize that we are called to be more holy, to be more like Christ. We're to grow into the image of Christ. And so this requires a diligence on our part in order that we might become more like God. Now, some denominations teach that you can be perfect in this life. We don't teach that as Baptists because the Bible doesn't teach that. But the Bible does teach us that we are to strive to be more like Christ. And so what that means is that as we grow in our Christian walk, we will become ever more sensitive to our sinful thoughts, our sinful actions, and we will seek repentance and we will seek God's blessing as we grow in our Christian walk. The Bible also tells us that here in Psalm 119 that our hearts will enlarge. And when it talks about heart in the Old Testament, it doesn't mean our physical hearts, or even as we as in the Western world think of our hearts and that is the place of love. Actually, in Hebrew, it's really talking about the center of intellect or even our personality. So in other words, what God wants us to do is He wants our actions to come from the inside out. We just saw on the video regarding the Annie Armstrong offering about Mormonism. And I like that about how it's legalism on steroids. But you know what? There are a lot of Christians that they're very much have bought into legalism. They think, oh, if I just do just the right things, then God will love me more. But what God wants us to do is He wants us to do the right things because we want to do the right things. You know, a lot of times we can do good things and we have destroyed any good that we could do because we're doing it because, oh, if I do this, so-and-so will think better of me. Or if I do this, God will love me more. And what we need to recognize is that God wants us to love and to do good works because we care, because we're concerned, because we see that there is a need that needs to be met. But we have to recognize that it all starts with compassion. So I want to tell you a story that happened to me in ministry back in 1994. There was a family in our church, and this man's mother had surgery at Park Ridge Hospital. So I went to see her, and she was in the intensive care. So when you go into the intensive care, you have to press a little button if it's not visiting hours, and you have to tell them who you are and why you're there. So I gave them all that pertinent information, and before I knew it, I mean, almost as soon as I let go of the button, someone was there, and it was a nurse, and she said, "You're a pastor," and I said, "Yes." So she grabbed my arm, kind of like this. She pulled me inside the, right inside the double doors there, and she said, "I'm so glad you're here. This is so terrible because our patient is going to have amputation tomorrow because the surgery failed." I said, "Well, I am so sorry to hear that, and that's why I came, because I knew that this is a very critical situation." And so she leads me to the cubicle where the patient is, and the doctor, the surgeon, the vascular surgeon, he comes, he says, "Are you a pastor?" And I said, "Yes." And says, and she goes, "Doctor, I've already told him about everything." And they both said, "We are just so glad you're here." And so I kind of very quietly kind of, I have a tendency to kind of fade into the woodwork because I'm a little bit an introvert. And so I just kind of just observing what was going on. And everybody was crying, including the nurse, including the doctor. And I had prayer with the family and praying for the surgery that would occur the next day. And I thought to myself many times after I left that hospital that day, if I ever need someone to operate on the veins in my body, I want that man to be the one to do it because he cared that much. That's what compassion is all about. It's about allowing someone else's pain to touch our hearts, to see someone else's needs, and for that to touch our hearts. So we, you know, in spite of all the technological advances that have occurred in this world, there's still a need for prayer. There's still a need for the healer, the created universe, to bring healing to our bodies. There's still a need for a hand that reaches out and for a voice that will say a prayer, enlarging our compassion. Then we have to enlarge our love. That, to me, is the next step. But I'm not talking about just any type of love. I'm talking about the love that's described in John 3:16. I'm talking about the type of love that's described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that agape love, that selfless love, that unconditional love. Unfortunately, a lot of people around us, and maybe it includes you, has never experienced unconditional love. Unfortunately, a lot of the love that we experience is conditional. I'll love you if you behave. I'll love you if you make good grades. I'll love you if you do these things the way I expect you to. So I really think that dogs have a lot to teach us here, because there's something about a dog that a dog loves you unconditionally. And dogs sense whether you like them or love them or not. And my son's got a golden retriever, and I think golden retrievers must love everybody, but he especially loves me. And I don't love him so much because he's got a lot of bad breath a lot of times. But he would just come, and he, if I don't pay attention to him, he ain't going to leave me alone until I pet him. Oh, you're a good dog. But it doesn't matter how much I push him away. He still wants to come and put his head in my lap. You know what? God loves us even more than that, doesn't he? I think about my faults and my sins, and yet God still loves me. I think about all of the sins that have ever been created in the world, and all of the rejection that God has experienced and Christ experienced during the time of his ministry, and yet God still loves us. God would be so wonderful if in his mercy he just didn't give us what we deserve, which is punishment and death. But God does more than that. He not only saves us and forgives us of our sins, he continues to shower his blessings upon us every single day in spite of our rebellion. Wow. Well, this is a verse that we're all familiar with from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. We can look at Christ. We can look at God the Father, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and in all of that, we see love, God's unconditional love for us. And my prayer this morning is that if you're here in the sanctuary or you're listening through the internet, that if you have never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would do that even today. I know that I grew up in church, and I was 8 and a half when I was saved. Now, I hadn't done any real bad things, but I had lied a few times. And I'd had some mean thoughts against my two younger brothers. And I had disobeyed my parents. I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. And so I'm thankful that that day, many years ago, that the Lord saved me as I repented of my sins. And I pray that today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, just know that God is there with open arms. And he wants you to be in heaven with him after this life is over. So we need to enlarge our compassion, our love, but also, and this is the hardest step, is to enlarge your willingness to absorb pain. The fact is that stinginess and unforgiveness block the flow of God's power into our lives. I see Christians that are not living their lives full of joy. I see Christians who are not living their lives with the energy and focus that they ought to have. And I think that's the problem right there. They have this mentality that if I do too much, or if I get involved in all of these things, that I won't be able to have what I need. But the fact is, what I found is that whatever you give away, God will multiply. Your energy, your money, your time, your heart. It's interesting that even in secular psychology, they are seeing the importance of forgiveness. Well, I'm glad that they're seeing the importance of forgiveness. But here's the problem. Without Christ, we don't know the true meaning and power of forgiveness. We just don't. We have to recognize that around us there are so many problems, and that only the power of God can help us to absorb the pain that's around us. I've talked with persons who have been involved in drug addiction or alcoholism, and I hate to report to you this morning, but it is true. People will talk about how it was their mom or their dad that taught them how to drink or smoke marijuana or take drugs. It was their so-called friends that taught them how to do that. I've been, as a pastor, I've had a couple of churches that had AA or NA meetings every week, and I would go in and I would sit on some of those meetings. And I was amazed at how many people would be in that meeting. Oh, yeah, I used to do drugs with this guy. Well, now they're in recovery together. Praise God. But the problem in our world is that people pass along pain rather than absorbing pain. Let me explain what I mean by that. I have seen, as a counselor, as a pastor, over 4+ decades, people who have been abused or traumatized, and instead of healing from that, what do? They traumatize and abuse other people. I'm amazed at how much it happens. When you look at the cross of Calvary, what you see Christ doing is the passing along of pain and trauma stops with me. That's what Jesus is saying. When we look at the cross of Calvary, we see someone who has said, it stops with me. The cycle doesn't have to continue. And when you think about Jesus on the cross, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, you probably know that one also, where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There he is on the cross, an innocent man, the perfect man, the perfect God-man. Father, forgive them. And then what does the Apostle Paul tell us? In Colossians chapter 3, I'll give you time to turn to it as I do. Apostle Paul has some very important instructions there for the people of Colossia. And he says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I have a whole sermon on forgiveness that I won't share with you right now, but I would say this. Forgiveness is a process. The deeper the hurt, the longer it's going to take for you to forgive. And so that's why I call it a process, not an event or an action. When we all leave this place, someone's going to flip a switch and all these lights will go off. And a lot of people think that's the way forgiveness is. Just hit that switch. Well, you know, if someone called you a bad name, you might be able to forgive that quickly. But it's just like a wound. If you have a deep wound in your leg, the deeper it is, the longer it's going to take for it to heal. And so what I tell people is, if you have a deep hurt, every day just go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to forgive a little bit more. Help me to be a little bit longer and further on this path of forgiveness. That's how we absorb pain. We allow God's love to dissipate that pain and to help us to deal with it. If we enlarge our compassion, enlarge our love, and enlarge our ability to absorb God, absorb pain, then we'll be able to change this world for God. As we enlarge our compassion, enlarge our love, enlarge our ability to absorb pain, we will change this world for the Lord. One great man of faith who saw so much hurting and so much pain and wanted to make a difference was Bob Pierce. Because his heart hurt so much for the pain in this world, he created World Vision. You probably have heard of it. And he had a saying. He said, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." Let me tell you a story about Bob Pierce. As he was getting ready to retire as president of World Vision, he contracted leukemia. And it was one of his greatest desires before he passed away to see a man who was actually called to be a missionary under his ministry. His name was Bob. Also, it was Bob Williams. And he served in Indonesia. And he loved Indonesia and the Indonesian people so much that they called him Borneo Bob. So even though Bob Pierce was very, very ill, he flew to Indonesia to see Borneo Bob one last time here on earth. And so Borneo Bob was showing Bob Pierce around all these different ministries that World Vision was supporting in part. And then one day, they were going to a village where there was a clinic, and they were walking along a creek. And Borneo Bob had a purpose in this, because he wanted his mentor to see this little girl. This little girl was lying on a mat. She was maybe 5-6 years old. And Borneo Bob began to explain that the reason this little girl here is that she is dying of cancer. And so Bob Pierce says, "Why is she down here next to the creek rather than up in the clinic where someone can take care of her?" And Borneo Bob said, "Well, she's from deep in the jungle and she wants to be by the cool water. And she was just laying this little bamboo mat in the mud." And Bob Pierce's heart was just so touched that he leaned down and actually knelt down in the mud, took that little girl's hand, and was just kind of comforting her. And then he said a prayer for this little girl. And after the prayer was over, the little girl said something in Indonesian. And so Bob Pierce says, "What did she say?" And this was a translation. She said, "If only I could sleep again, if I could only sleep again. Her cancer was so painful that she could not sleep." And so Bob reached into his pocket and he pulled out his sleeping pills. Because of his leukemia, Bob could not sleep, and so he had to use those pills to get any rest. He gave those to Borneo Bob, and he said, "You be sure that this little girl gets some sleep as long as these pills last." That was a huge sacrifice, because it was going to be 10 days before they could get back to Singapore where he could get that refill for those sleeping pills that he needed for his sleep. And so Bob Pierce made that sacrifice for that little girl so that she could get a little bit of sleep. "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." What breaks the heart of God? Our sinfulness. What breaks the heart of God? Our callousness to the painful problems that are around us? What breaks the heart of God? Lostness. What breaks the heart of God? The fact that so many people could be healed of their sin, could have a meaningful life, and yet they say no to God. May our hearts be broken with the things that break the heart of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, that we see how deep your love and your compassion is for us. On the cross of Calvary, we see a beautiful picture of forgiveness, the willingness to absorb the pain and hurt of this world in order that people might be born again, that people might have a meaningful life, that people would have the hope of heaven. Heavenly Father, help us to run after your commandments. Help us, Heavenly Father, to have hearts that are enlarged for a world that is hurting and dying in sin. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In a moment, we'll be singing our invitational hymn. And if the Lord is leading you to make a decision, we invite you to come at this time. If you need to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, I'd be happy to talk with you about that. If you need to join this church to be a part of this wonderful fellowship, we invite you to come. And I would encourage each of us, even if it's not a public decision, I would pray that something in this message here this morning has convicted you of perhaps a change in attitude or a change in action that would help you to be the type of person that God's called you to be.
This program is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church. Music courtesy of Jason Shaw at audionautix.com. If you enjoy this program, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@newsalembaptist.net. Thank you for listening.